Hey everybody, welcome to Tall But True, episode number whatever the hell it is now. We've been cranking these out for several weeks and we're having a great time doing it. We've had a lot of good guests, a lot of great stories. I'm Ben Bailey.
DC Benny.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys are enjoying it. As usual, we have a great guest today.
Oh, we got a great one today. We got a great one today.
I could list these things that I have in front of me. I'll list one because I saw it recently, Copland.
Uh-huh.
Which I love. I think that's a great movie.
Yes.
She's in that. She's in Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. The Cable Guy, The Truth About Cats and Dogs. TV show, Saturday Night Live, News Radio, Seinfeld. Another movie, Reality Bites. I forgot about that one.
Can't forget that one, man.
Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, most recently. We've talked about that one. But she's done a million things, including be a great stand-up comedian for a long time.
Yes, indeed.
It's Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo is here.
She's here with us.
Man.
We're going to be talking about pets.
Perfect.
With Janine Garofalo right after this. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to Tall But True. We're here with Janine Garofalo. Hey.
Now?
Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
Hello? Hello?
What's up? Thanks for coming out and doing the
making
show.
The schlep, yeah.
Well, it is my pleasure, and thank you for sending a car. I know that sounds... I don't have a car, so I couldn't have driven here. I could have taken the train, but I didn't, and I apologize for that.
No,
even if
we
did
it.
Have a car, it's difficult to drive here.
it would have taken a while.
Yeah.
Well, but I grew up in the town next to this town.
Yeah, we're close to
yes.
the house you grew up in.
Yes, we are.
2 miles from here or something.
I don't know. I don't know exactly, but it's probably a very short distance.
Yeah, it's close by.
Would it be spitting distance? I don't know. I don't know how far you can spit. I don't want to presume anything. A stone's throw? Again, I don't know. I don't know. But you guys are big guys. You could probably throw a stone pretty far, depending on the heft of the stone. But that's not what we're here to talk about, is it? Or is this what we're talking about?
We'll talk about whatever. We're supposed to be talking about pets.
It always goes off the rails.
Oh, okay.
It's not rigid. We talk about whatever.
Sure, pets.
We end up talking about other stuff and then finding our way back to our topic often. I'm sorry to rattle off a lot of your credits while you were sitting here. Did you like that?
No. I think it's very nice. It's just, to me, it highlights how much I'm not doing now. And I don't mean that in self-deprecating. I'm just saying, oh, boy, I had a lot of jobs in the 90s. Less so acting-wise now. But
you're doing other stuff.
I did What Hot American Summer Season 2 for Netflix. Just
cool.
Finished that.
Nice.
I tend to make a lot of indie films no one will ever see that sometimes don't even have enough money to finish them. I find that's the best route of getting back in the game is to be in films
a
friend of a friend has partially financed.
Yeah,
that's always the wisest.
But there can be
choice.
A gem in there. There can be. A
there
real
can
gem.
Be. I have not encountered the Wes Anderson moment that that others have in their life. But one day, maybe.
Well, it's ebb and flow, right? I mean, people. Your careers come up and go down.
Yes, they say
I
that.
I feel like I haven't done anything in years. Like, I'm like, what am I going to do? Cash Cab ended 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's next for me?
Well, absolutely. Everybody feels that way. Even people that, in your mind, go, you work all the time. But we all feel that way. And also, I'm not complaining because it's an elective career. Yeah. No one makes you do it. So to complain about it is a fool's errand because then why do it?
Yeah, who are you complaining
to? A lot of times when you're doing the thing, you're thinking about the next thing and what's that and if it's non-existent or what's it going to be and both. So it's a very hard it's very hard to enjoy the present.
It is.
And the more you are not working currently, it can feel isolating.
Right,
can
like
feel,
with any job,
yeah.
anyone yeah. with any job, unemployment is a drag. That's why, luckily, you know, when you do stand up, which I've always done since 85, that is like the thing that's consistent, and I enjoy it more than I enjoy acting.
It's fun to watch you. It's fun to watch.
Thanks.
I've been seeing you a lot at
you're always so nice about it at Eastville.
Nah,
when you
go up there and you balls out up there with not worrying.
My balls are not out. I don't work blue. I am not balls out up there. How dare you? I have not been. I haven't done that since 1989.
But you're very, you know, you really air it out. You really like take a long chunk, and it's a lot of people are not able to do that. Just go stick with that long chunk. And
well, there's no nobility. That's very nice of you to say. It's more a factor of I'm not a strong joke writer, which I will admit on stage. I say that on stage. I'm not a strong joke writer. It's more just talking.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm embarrassed to call myself a stand-up comic. Cause...
But you have these, you have, what was, the last time I was there, last time I saw you, well, you've got something about getting off the train in Williamsburg or Bushwick.
About the L train, about how slow
that's a joke.
Those
kids. I mean, that is a joke.
It's a joke, but it's an observation more than anything.
She nails it.
When you take the L train to Brooklyn, specifically the Bedford and Drigg stop, which is like the epicenter of youth and youth culture.
Right.
The slowness, the pace of the young people moving up the stairs, to me, is you know, you could take the subway to 72nd and Broadway, which I think is a much more AARP area. It really is. And people and it's more stairs and taller stairs, and there's a pace, you know,
they're out of the way.
With vim, they're going up the stairs, whereas it's not like that with the younger people, which obviously sounds terrible to whoever's listening to this now, me explaining this.
It's exactly but, how it is, though. It's like they're
kids and they're dragging their feet.
They're dragging their feet. It's like
they've got their pants. Sorry, my kids are trying to call.
Oh, that's okay. Please take it.
No, that's
children.
All right.
Take
Emma
it.
Got it upstairs. It's fun.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's funny. I have a bit about people going so slowly on the stairs. I can't even remember what it is about the subway. How you get off and everyone's racing to get out, and then.
And then there's stop, but there's always another stairwell that people don't tend to use, which is a kind of an interesting study in human nature. And some of the subway stops, you know, there's the first, I guess, the first main staircase that confronts the majority of people getting out, and they will take that one, even if it's way backed up. If you just walk down the platform a few more feet, there's another open staircase, but it's like a habit. You know what I mean?
It's the short line thing. Don't get in the short line. There's something wrong with it.
Except at Whole Foods. Listen, Whole Foods. The lines, and actually, it's a great system actually at Whole Foods. But if you can, even if the line's long, you can get on one that doesn't exist and get to the cashiers before the others if you plan it properly.
You
like
go by the one where it's near the little coffee area. There's that hidden line.
Whatever was the last number that was
the
just
juice
called.
Bar and coffee.
Go
bar.
To what's going to be coming. Next, if there's less people. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, don't immediately go to the first row.
Yes.
Because that is not necessarily what number's coming next, because there's five different rows usually.
When I was living in the city, I would always...
These are the kind of jokes that are hilarious that I'm talking... This is the type of material, the Whole Foods bit that I'm doing, is the type of stuff that really goes over so well at Eastville on the Late Show Friday. They love it on the Late Show Friday.
When I was in the city and taking the subway all the time, I would try to remember which stairway I wanted to use at where I was getting off.
Right.
And I would try to be on the right part of the train so I could get off and go right
it's
up.
It's difficult
stairway.
To do that, though, sometimes.
It's
you can get you can get turned around.
Like it's like a little puzzle.
And
to
sometimes
figure it
that,
out.
That car is packed, so you have to then do that. So I find that best laid plans, I don't do that. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't work out that way. But I will walk further down the platform. It just
to get to a free stairway.
To get to a stairwell, you will be up there faster than the people waiting online for their cronuts. Are we going to talk about this again? The cronuts.
We had a long cronut conversation upstairs.
Don't stand in line for pastry. It makes no sense.
Buy cookie dough at the grocery store.
Well, it makes no sense. It's just it's showing you to be a follower.
Yes.
You're just being a follower.
But you know what? That's what most
like a sheep. Speaking of pets,
the population.
Speaking of pets, how about that?
Do you have a pet sheep?
I used to have a chicken.
Did you really have a pet chicken?
Actually, this is before we lived in Madison. We lived in Orangeburg, Pennsylvania, very, very rural area. And at the farmer's market, I bought two things for a nickel. The first 45 record I ever bought at the age of four, which was The Monkees' Tapioca Tundra on one side and Valerie on the other. And I'm still a huge Monkees fan. Unironically, to this day, love them. Michael Nesmith. In particular.
So great songs.
Fantastic songs. If you go deep, go away from... And the hits are good, but if you go deep into the Monkees catalog and Mike Nesmith, it's fantastic. It's really, really good music, and they just had an album come out last year that's very good.
Really?
Yeah, they had different writers.
I was only talking about the hits. I don't know that much of them.
Oh, no. Honestly,
great songs.
The hits are great.
Daydream
There's even
Believer.
Better stuff.
It's a great song.
Yes.
Last Train to Clarksville.
And they did play their instruments. They taught Mike Nesmith was already a musician, as was Peter Tork. The other two taught themselves to play, and they performed live, and they played. I'm a huge fan. But also the album that just came out, other songwriters like Ben Gibbard and Paul Weller and the guy from XTC, Andy Partridge, wrote songs for the Monkees to sing, the ones that are still alive. And then they laid in vocals of the late Davy Jones.
You know a lot of
no
stuff.
No way.
I am a huge fan.
Yeah.
You are and that was my first, and then I fan. Bought a baby chick for a nickel. So for 10 cents, I got my first Monkees thing.
You threw a nickel on the counter, like, I'll take
a baby
the
chick
and the chick.
Named Oscar, who was then, a few years later, killed by a squirrel.
Oh, my Circle niece of life. Just had squirrel, a, she has a chickens out on a farm in Virginia, and a hawk came and got one, and the other one had some mysterious chicken disease that just one day, boom, it was
Garrick's.
Bird flu?
Lou Garrick's.
Lou Garrick's.
ALS. The chicken had motor neuron disease.
But it was her first experience of losing an animal.
A hawk came and ate the...
A hawk came and just snatched the chicken.
Well, it's profound when you lose a pet.
Yeah.
They had a... I can't remember who it was now, but they had a koi pond.
Oh.
With all these, like, real, and koi can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're beautiful.
And they
fish.
Get them, they get grow big, and they. Yeah.
Delicious.
A friggin', an egret just came and ate all of their. Emptied out. I think it was an egret or an ibis or something.
One of them?
A
did
big
that?
Bird that came back every day.
Oh.
And, they, and they'd look out, and it would just be standing there.
Aren't koi fish like a
totally
meaty,
still.
Like a bigger kind of
you know,
meaty?
You like a giant goldfish kind of.
Ew.
Like a carp.
That's just too meaty. Like
and
the bird was
slowly
eating
slowly they're like, why is this bird back here every day? And every time they look, it would just be standing still.
You think of it as like
and they
a
went
salmon
out and it,
type
it ate
fish.
All of their fish.
Ew.
It emptied out their pond.
That's terrible.
Awful. I was wondering about it because I always see cats, you know, by these ponds and stuff. There was, when I remember growing up, there was a neighbor had some, but I don't think it was... Koi, I think it was goldfish, so the cats,
right.
It's more accessible.
Traditionally,
yeah.
Aren't cats like they stare at the bowl?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the goldfish, though. It's just the bowl. Yeah. Now, talk about tiny house nation, which we were talking about upstairs. That
houses.
Would be like those goldfish are experiencing what you two tall gentlemen would experience in the tiny house that you guys are planning on building. You should tell your audience about this. You guys are planning on
building a tiny
two
house.
Tiny houses, yeah. And you're going to be next door to each other, and it's going to be about the trials and tribulations of two very tall men
living in the
making
house.
A go of it.
Can I borrow your good
tiny
t-shirt?
It's going to be like grumpy old men.
But then you can't get it off.
With
like
tiny
just
houses.
Taking the t-shirt off would be a whole
episode. Yeah, there's no room for
episode.
Your arms.
What a horrible thing. What a horrible trend. Then. Movement. I'm sorry, movement. What a horrible movement that is.
Was that? Would that be your first pet, the chick?
Chicken?
The baby chick was, well, actually before I was born, the first dog we had Nightmare existed.
You had a
but
dog
that
named
didn't
Nightmare?
Go well. My dad brought a puppy home named Nightmare, and it didn't last too long because my brother and sister, who were born before me, were too rough with it. And being that they were only like 3 and 4,
right.
And so I think my parents thought it's best that this puppy goes to a. So they gave it to I think the Hanveys, another family down the street who had 7 kids. I don't know if that was better for the dog, but
not enough kids.
My first pet was Oscar, and then I had hamsters and gerbils and cats because they wouldn't let us get a dog again. Mm-hmm. So finally, when I was an adult. My first dog was in the 90s, actually. I found Dewey was my first one. I found him in Utah on the location of a movie called Clay Pigeons.
Clay Pigeons,
oh, yeah. A dog that's, had a litter.
And
Vince Vaughn.
I was just a detective. Yeah, Vince Vaughn, Joaquin Phoenix, Georgina Cates, and also that guy from In Cold Blood. And he was also in Walking Dead. I can't believe I just forgot his name. Famous guy. He played... In the Robert Blake In Cold Blood movie. You know what I mean? And he was on Walking Dead. He played Herschel on Walking Dead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Somebody have a bit of a Google.
My old brain is...
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
But anyway, he was in the movie too. But a stray dog had a litter, and then unfortunately she passed away. But everybody took one.
Oh,
and that was my first...
Puppies!
My first, and then have never not had a dog since... And then, as you and I were discussing, pit bulls. Once you get your first pit bull or pit mix, then you never go back. That's the greatest,
really?
Greatest dog.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They're the greatest dogs, and they
awesome,
get the
man.
Worst
They're the worst
rap.
Everybody thinks they're killers. But they're
really
weak.
Actually, you know what the most aggressive dog is? The Jack Russell Terrier.
Yes.
That's the most aggressive dog, but because they're small. And
those
actually, pit bulls used to be called the family companion. They were used as nannies. They are the most loving. Now, if you treat any animal terribly... It'll do terrible things, like a child. You know what I mean? Like you abuse a child, it's probably going to put that abuse back out. And unfortunately, pit bulls are so loyal and so strong, they're going to do things they don't want to do for their owner. But especially if they're living in fear. And
I used to see these guys in the park, like
I can't even, even having training, these, discussing the these things the make my fights. Stomach, it makes my stomach turn over. And there's a pit bull ban in Canada, which is just unfair. It's like a civil rights issue. Honestly, it is. I'm not being flippant about
a
that.
Pit bull ban.
But pit bull, because they have this reputation based on nothing. You know, the amount of dog attacks in a year, statistically, pit bulls are the very, very fewest.
Yeah.
The ones that get press are pit bull attacks. When I was a kid, it was Dobermans in the 70s. Yeah, it was always Dobermans. Then for a while in the 80s, it was Rottweilers.
Yeah. Remember then that movie, pit The bulls. Doberman Gang?
Uh-uh. What? That sounds familiar.
That's this crazy movie about a team of Doberman pinschers that rob a bank.
Was it a Disney film?
No, I don't think so. It was
the
like
Doberman Gang. I remember the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yeah, guys, the
was Tim Conway in the Doberman Gang? Don Knotts? No.
No, but it's like this guy just trains these dogs and they rob a bank for him.
Huh. Is it live action?
Yeah. And it's a great ending. The dogs keep the money.
They should. And they're then like, they play poker. You, then they're just playing the poker money. With it. He's and that's where all those pictures are from.
Yeah, exactly. That's where those posters
and they lose it all in poker. But really, pit bulls are, and people should know about it. You know, I mean, that pit bulls deserve to be
Bill Burr is a big
rethought.
Pit bull guy, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Talked about one of his specials.
Anybody that when they come into your life, accidentally or not, you realize, oh, man, even ones that have been abused and you adopt them, they all they want to do is love and be loved and cuddle and be in your lap. And they're also incredibly smart.
Smart dogs. Very smart.
And that's why it's also strange when people want purebreeds of anything.
I never.
It is a dangerous game you're playing because there's a lot of dishonest breeders, and they got a lot of neurological problems and inbred problems. Get a mutt every time. Get a mutt. But if you can get a pit mix, that is ideal.
Great loving dogs.
But they really are the best. Border collies are great too.
Yeah, a border collie mix. She was a rescue.
Mm-hmm.
She was. Just the most.
They're
awesome
very smart.
Dog. She was so smart.
Yep.
Too smart for her own good. Sometimes she seemed like worried.
Well, they need to be constantly mentally stimulated, border collies and stuff, because they're used to it. That's what they're bred for: is to have jobs to do. And in the suburbs or in homes, people don't have the time or, I guess, the inclination sometimes to keep some of these breeds as stimulated mentally as they need to be.
Yeah, I mean,
they
working get dogs want to work.
Yeah, they really
do. They don't. If you don't keep them busy, then it's tough for them. But she was a great dog. She was super smart. Like
that was the floof?
That was the floof.
Yes.
Her name was Nikki, but we called her the floof, or she had all these different names.
Well, you name a dog, and then you never call it that name again.
Yeah, he called
mostly
it anything but
everything,
that.
There's a nickname.
I was going to make a plaque with all her names on it.
That's
I have
awesome
them written
shit.
Down like a memorial plaque when she died, but I haven't done that yet. But she was always wowing me with how smart she was. Like one time, I lived in a house right here in this town, in Morristown. Mm-hmm. With like three other dudes. We were in our 20s. It was a party house, you know. And I never had any food there. I was broke. And, you know, but one weekend, for some reason, I didn't have a party, which was unusual. And I had some money. And I went to the grocery store. And I put like $200 worth of groceries in the kitchen. I came home. Nikki, the floof, was sitting there watching.
And
the
she ate everything.
I was unloading. Yeah, she would have. I was unloading everything and putting it away. I just get everything packed up. I fold up the bags, stuff them under the sink, and in pour, like, my 15 best friends in the world. They've just been playing football down the road.
And they're starving.
And they're starving. And they come in.
What's for dinner?
Got you, Sonny D?
My friend goes, they come in and are looking around. Like, hey, what's up? Yeah, good game, whatever. And I look, my one friend looks at me and goes, you got anything to eat? And I go, you know, I never have any food in the house. And I looked at the floof, Nikki, and she fucking winked at me.
Because they're smart. And they.
And she's like, it's just for us, right, dude? And they all left, and it totally worked.
Well, thank God they weren't the type of people that open things and then ask or open the refrigerator and stare at it, because then you would have been busted as a liar.
It's weird that they didn't.
A dishonest man.
But they didn't think I had any food.
Right.
Because I never did. I just happened to.
Well, they would have eaten all of it.
They would have
eaten done. Yeah. Can I kick in some money for this food?
They
would have been terrible house guests.
Yeah.
We had Bosco.
But she knew
what
was up, the floof. I remember Bosco.
You remember Bosco? You remember? Yeah. I brought Bosco to the Boston Comedy Club, and he sat in the back on a weeknight. And
only on a weeknight.
You know, he was fixed. You know, he was fixed.
Have your pets spayed or neutered?
he still had the humping thing going on. He
they would, still do. Yeah. It's a sign. It can be nervousness. It can be affection. Most dogs will still do it.
You basically didn't want to crawl around on all fours near Bosco because it would start. Uh-huh. And he had the humping thing. And then at the time we were living in Brooklyn Heights in this building with an elevator. And Bosco had this thing, just jamming his face in women's crotches. Like, and I'd always, try to keep that from happening, but I kind of...
It always makes me think of George Carlin.
Oh, he smells my dog.
No, he doesn't.
Well, that's better than this, bro. Oh, I can't follow that.
Oh, sorry.
That's hilarious.
No. Well, actually, the thing is, I think people say it out of embarrassment. He must smell my dog.
Yeah.
You don't want to admit what everybody knows is going on. It's just, you just say it.
Well, he got this lady in an elevator. We were in the elevator. And it was Jesus. a very, like, Brooklyn Heights is very, like, conservative, like a little kind of old money-ish people, and this lady got on with this skirt, and I was